Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. 1 hour down, four more to go on our five-hour midnight ride on a football Friday. Looking forward to the games. I mean, the Buffalo-Baltimore is going to be, I would think, that's going to be an enormous game. The ratings are going to be huge. The winner most likely is going to take on Kansas City. That is going to be a huge game. The two MVPs right now, and that MVP conversation, I know it might not be the most, it might not be the best example of the dichotomy of what the MVP actually is, but it's a pretty good one, right? We might have seen better, but the idea, like if you look at the numbers, Lamar Jackson's the MVP. I mean, he's had the better year. He's thrown more touchdown passes. He's like he just everything. He has had one of the great years we've ever seen at the quarterback position. What he's become now, I mean, he is just on another world. His ability to throw accurately has, I mean, over the last couple of years, but particularly this year, he's limited the turnovers. He's doing everything. But when you look at the two teams, and we'll get more into this when we break down the game a little bit later, for the first full house pick segment in a long time, looking forward to it. When you look at it, I mean, Baltimore's defense has more quality players on it. They've got Derrick Henry. Now, that's, you know, James Cook is one hell of a back, but they've got Derrick Henry. Like, they have more players. They have a better team. And Lamar Jackson's great, and he's had this great year. And if you just go by who's the best player, I don't know how you can argue it's Lamar Jackson. But to me, I don't know what Buffalo is without Josh Allen. Like, this is one of those perfect... Who's more valuable? Because if you put Joe Schmo at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, I still think maybe they're not in this position. Maybe they're not a division winner. Maybe they're not, you know, playing in divisional weekend, but they're a competent, possible playoff team. I don't know what the hell the Buffalo Bills are if you put Joe Schmo at quarterback. I don't know. So, like, this is a great example of what the MVP is. And I think that's what the game's going to be, too. Like, to me, is Josh Allen going to be able to will his team to victory? Because I think the Ravens are the better team. And they're favorites in the game on the road. It should be a really good one. We'll get more into the games as we get closer. I'm looking forward to them. Spoiler alert, I think I'm going to be favored heavy this weekend, though. I don't know how else to see it. It's tough, even though the numbers are big. But hopefully we get better football, and I think we will. 888-808-1019, so a football Friday, divisional weekend. But we open with Pete Alonso. And I know we've talked a lot about Pete Alonso over the last 2 days. I'm aware of that, but it's the news that's changing every day. And now it seems like that's it. Say goodbye to Pete. And I'm curious how the Met fan feels about it. 888-808-1019. And I've been a little surprised. The reaction seems to be, hey, this is the market. You turned down the big-time contract. You bet on yourself. You lost. Tough crap. Take the deal or leave it. We got Juan Soto. Vladimir Guerrero's in the offing. And too bad, Pete. And I'm curious about that because there's different ways to see it. Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
You're not wrong about Pete Alonso. Not wrong at all. I remember when Craig Carton and Evan Roberts were giving you a pretty hard time for when you called Pete in, back in the days goofy.
Yes.
And here you are now, literally, defending Pete. And I totally agree with all that you're saying. Yeah. But I'm going to take it a bit further.
Sure.
Stearns is nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. Mr. Moneybags himself, Steve Cohen, obviously could have had this deal done eons ago. He paid through the roof for Soto and gave his family, God bless him, a suite, all kinds of benefits, amenities, privileges, everything.
Yep.
And bonuses, but no love for Pete Alonso?
Yeah.
McMonagle, you're right, man. They don't want him. Yeah. They don't. They don't want over 30 home runs, guaranteed, fan-favorite player. Listen, Tiki Barber, Mike Francesa, and others have said it. Pete Alonso should feel upset. And at the end of the day, it looks like he's gone.
Yeah. And again, that's something else, too. Like, I said it. They put out a story of my thing last night. If I'm Pete, I'm telling the Mets to stuff it. I said that yesterday. And today, I'm not surprised he told them to stuff it. Honestly, I totally understand why Pete's annoyed. Now, again, it's a business, and he'll have to go get more money. Otherwise, you know, he's going to really have to swallow his pride to come back at the Mets at this point. That's why I'm a little hesitant to believe what Evan said and what some others have said. Me and Fliegelman were talking about this in the back, too. Like, I don't know. Yeah, the negotiations have gotten ugly here, and we'll see. And sure, is this beyond the idea that it could be negotiating still? No, of course. The idea the Mets are now pivoting to plan B of losing Pete and how they're going to approach it. And, you know, they believe that he's not going to, you know, be part of the future, and they expect him to sign elsewhere. And now the numbers have been leaked out and all that stuff. It was leaked out that they've been contacted Toronto about trading for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, this is all absolutely could all be part of an ugly negotiation. But I totally get why Pete's pissed off. I totally get it. I know he turned down a contract, and I know he hired a big-time agent. Think about what he's done for this team. He's still in his prime. He's not 40. He's not 35, 33, 34. He's going to be 31 years old last year. He's hit 200-plus home runs already for this team. He hit the biggest home run of the year last year. Last year, on the biggest argument about his season last year, is his performance in the clutch, and he hit the most clutch home run they had all year. He's been their guy, a starting pitcher who pitched 1 year for them. Got $5 million more. He's seen Lindor not played a day for them, get $300 million. He's seen them bend over backwards for Juan Soto. Now, I'm sure he understands Juan Soto's value and who Juan Soto is, but, I mean, they're given suites, as the last caller said, suites and wardrobes. And, well, I mean, he could have asked for anything. He was going to get it. But for a guy who's put his blood, sweat, and tears into this team, who's been the face of the organization, because we forget, prior to this, Lindor was, you know, not that highly thought of from the fan base. Underachieving player, never been what he was in Cleveland. He was on his way to having the same reputation as Carlos Beltran here with the Mets. And then now, yeah, absolutely. Last year changed that. Pete didn't have a great clutch season and not a good season overall, and Lindor became an MVP candidate and absolutely dragged them to the postseason. But it wasn't that long ago, Pete was the face of the franchise. Pete was the guy over and over again. I mean, Evan went on a shaving strike until they re-signed Pete Alonso. He was going to be the guy who could be the best position player in the history of the franchise. And now he comes back to you and says, all right, I'll take 3 years. What do you got for me? 3 years, 70, take it or leave it. I need to know by tomorrow. And, oh, you say no? Okay, we're pivoting to Winker and we're moving on. Like, it's just, it feels a little cold. You can say whatever you want. It's fair. It's market value. It's this or that. Like, they knew he wasn't taking this. And I'm not surprised he didn't. And in fact, I'll go as far to say I think he's right in not taking it. I would rather take less. I'm not kidding. Like, we talk about, like, there's the idea of, hey, there's value in being the Met guy, and you're like what David Wright was talking about in the press conference. There's value. They're not offering him a lifetime contract. If they offered him 7-8 years at this money, and he felt he could do better, and he was annoyed, or they offered him 7-8 years at $19 million or some lower number, or $20 million or whatever, and he turned it down for a couple million more per year, I could say, hey, Pete, you know, you're about to become a lifelong Met. 3 years, he's not a lifelong Met. He's not breaking any records. He's not hitting 500 home runs, or he breaks the Met record. No one cares. Honestly, does any Met fan even know the Strawberry number? You might know Strawberry holds the record. Do you even know the number? I'm not trying to diminish it, but nobody cares. I don't even know. I mean, Babe Ruth hit home runs for other teams. I couldn't even tell you what Babe Ruth's Yankee number is. I don't know what it is. The most home runs ever hit by a Yankee, I have no idea what the number is. But he could hit 500 in a Met uniform. He could be their best position player ever. He could be their guy. This contract doesn't even offer him that. This contract offers him gone in three years. So, like, I would rather take less money and go play for an organization and go somewhere else and feel like, man, I did all this for you and you don't care. Whatever. I'll go somewhere else. Mike in Rockland, what's up, Mike?
Hey, man, I disagree. I think the majority of Met fans, mm-hmm. 99% of us, want Pete Alonso back. I don't think anybody can, in their right mind, can say that this team is better tomorrow without Pete Alonso on it. 2026, Vlad Guerrero, we got plenty of time to worry about that. There's too much invested in this guy. He endeared himself to us fans. When Lindor and Baez were giving thumbs down, Pete was getting a chance. Bring back the polar bear. If they don't, it's a disgrace. And he has every right to be pissed off that he's getting lowballed with this obnoxious contract. Soto, that's gravy. It's great. Pete is the fan favorite, and I don't know what else we can do besides not watch, not go to a game.
That's a little bit high. That's a little bit much. That's a little hyperbole. No one is saying or suggesting. They just signed Juan Soto for $765 million. All right? They just went to the NLCS. By no means does not bringing Pete back worthy of even discussing the idea of boycott or not watching the team. Okay? That's even I've been banging the drum for Pete Alonso. That's patently ridiculous. All right? The owner's done a great job for the most part. I mean, he's done a great job. And if I'm a Met fan, I'm still excited at the prospect of the season. I'm disappointed how this went, though. I am. I'm disappointed how this went. And I think they're better with Pete than without him right now. I don't think a short-term deal like this is perfect for them. And they can go get, like, I hear Sal, you know, because I love Sal. And Sal will start doing his things. Go get Vladdy! He's all excited about the idea of getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But does anyone stop and say, well, why not both? On a 3-year short-term deal? If it's $26, $27 million, and that's the other thing. Like, this is the richest owner in baseball. Why do we care? Why do Met fans all of a sudden think it's fair to go, well, hey, listen, it's market value. Why would they bid against themselves? Why do you want the money in why do you want the money in the owner's pocket as opposed to on the field with the team? And in Pete's pocket, who's hit 50 home runs for you. You watched him hit the home run off of Devin Williams, that great video of the watch party at Citi Field. That moment's special. And it doesn't mean he gets the 7-year contract he gets, but it helps endear you to a 3-year contract and willing to work with him and go up slightly for bare minimum market value. Jimmy in Queens, what's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm part of the coalition of Mets fans that's okay with letting Pete leave. And I just want to go back to something the last caller said, that the offer we made to Pete is insulting. The offer still makes him the fourth highest paid first baseman in the league. and he's not that. So I think saying it's an insulting offer is insane.
I mean, he's not the fourth best first baseman in the league?
Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Vlad.
What about Olson's year last year?
Pete still had a worse year.
I understand that, but I mean, over the last couple of years, I mean, they're right in the same ballpark to me, Olson and him. Olson's better defensively. I'd rather have Olson, don't get me wrong. But like, it's not great. But again, it still makes him the fourth best. You're talking about he was expecting more. You gave him, is it a completely crazy out of, oh my God, complete lowballing? No, I understand that. It's not the craziest of lowballing. Again, Olson went from a team that, you know, doesn't spend money to the Braves. He didn't do a thing for the Braves. He signed a very team-friendly long-term deal because he was happy to be there. This is a guy who's put equity into the team. Like, you can't go, you have the richest owner in baseball. You can't go up a little bit on him? Like, you don't understand why Pete would be annoyed at this offer?
I kind of get why you would be annoyed. And look, we love Pete. There's this narrative that, Mets fans have turned on Pete. I picked buying his jersey over Lindor's jersey a few years ago. We love Pete. But the entire league agrees, and you can see it by his market, and most fans agree. He's a player in decline, so why would Stearns, who already has limited flexibility with
why
the Nemo
deal... Why does he have limited flexibility?
Because most positions are locked up in a core that was made by four other GMs before him.
Right.
Nemo, do you think he wants Nemo for 6 years, $120 million? Probably not.
Right.
He's still paying Marte another year. He has, all these deals that he didn't put together. So I kind of see him wanting to open himself up to more. And I'm okay with that.
At 3 years, how does Pete Alonso prevent you from doing anything?
Because I know that, Stearns' thing is that he, for the DH, he wants positional flexibility. Pete plays one position. I think that's why you're not getting Vlad and Pete, because Pete's only a DH if we get Vlad. Then it takes away flexibility.
For 2 years.
And the Mets' strength this year was flexibility. That's 2 years you have limited flexibility of Juan Soto's prime that you just paid for.
Yeah, but but you also have the better hitter. Who are you flexing into that DH spot that's better than Pete Alonso?
Maybe not better power, but better all-around player. And I think that's what Stearns' thing is.
I don't know if you could say that. Who are they going to put there that's better?
It's not a better hitter. It's someone who it's a place where you can give guys days off at that point, and you have more room to run around with it.
Right.
But you're not stuck with it. I think that's the thing. There's a lot of concrete pieces on this Mets team for years to come. I don't know if Stearns is necessarily, especially his philosophy. I can't really get mad at him for not wanting Pete back.
All right, that's fine. But then acknowledge he doesn't want Pete back.
I'm fine acknowledging that.
Okay.
I don't really have a problem with it.
All right.
Because I don't see the Mets.
I think you're making fair points. I think there is definitely a plan moving forward that they're better without Pete Alonso not this year. I don't know how you make an argument that they're better this year without Pete Alonso, unless they trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and give up a ton in prospects, which I doubt they would do. But next year, moving forward, you get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right. I mean, it locks into the DH for a couple of seasons. I don't think it hurts you, but I understand what you're saying, but...
Do you think it's smart to go all in this year with how the NL is, or set yourself up better for the future where you can compete?
I think if you want to view yourself as Big Brother and the team that is now in that club, you compete every year. You compete every year.
But they're going to compete this year.
But you don't want to go all in because you can't beat the Dodgers even with Pete Alonso. You can't think that way. You were in a 6-game series with them last year.
Because when you have Pete the next 2 years, he's declining, and you're worse in a position where you could be better. You could be more flexible. I just think Pete's great, but he doesn't fit the window of the team. Most of the core is over 30. Yeah, but you want to add another guy to that?
For 6 years, though, I get you. At three, I don't think he's declining. If you're going to get him till 34, you're not getting him till 38. He's just as likely to have a big season next year. Like, it's not like he's, I mean, he's in the decline. He's not declining at 35, 36. He's had a down year. The year before that we're going to call down, his batting average is 217. He hit 44 home runs. He had 44 home runs.
I can't help but think, but not think there's a reason most of the league is staying away from him.
But there again, are guys but, yeah,
that
but
just fall off a cliff.
I know, but the argument is right now, maybe most of the season, maybe we're going to see now, because maybe a lot of the teams were staying away from him, figuring he was going back to the Mets. And he fully publicly said, or was leaked or whatever, that he was offering a 3-year deal to the Mets that he wasn't willing to offer any other team. If he opens up a 3-year deal to other teams, maybe he bumps it up to $25, $26, $27 million on a 3-year deal. That hasn't been presented to clubs.
Yeah, but that was after they had already, most teams had already filled the spot.
No, I mean,
now,
who knows?
The
San Francisco Giants. Yeah, the San Francisco Giants, the Angels. I'm saying those are teams. The same thing you could say about Bregman or anybody else. Like, now that the Mets are out or perceived out, or maybe he'll shop that 3-year deal to the San Francisco Giants, who can't get anybody to go play there. Like, I don't know.
I just think you run into problems when you bring back players to please fans, and I think that's what a Pete would be. We launched.
You don't view him as a good player or a beneficial player at all. He's the best. He's the second best home run hitter in the sport.
I really can't be sure.
You can't be sure at anything. You want to look at some of the years Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had before last year. He's been overall a disappointing player. You're going to give him $500-600 million. Who knows what he is?
He's better than Pete.
No, I understand that. Of course, you have to put your trust in him. You have no choice. But I'm just saying, you're devaluing any sort of, like, that Pete is worthless over the next 2 years. We're not talking about an NLCS appearance without Pete Alonso.
Yeah, but I feel like we're all being a little prisoner of the moment on that one.
Is he going
to hit another home run to send us?
I don't know.
Past the wild card round.
I have no idea, but he's done it in this jersey, in this uniform for 5 years. He had 50 home runs, 44 home runs. He's the second best power hitter in the sport.
I think you can get better.
I think you can too. But if you can, good luck doing it for this value. And again, it's 3 years. It doesn't stop you. He's got enough money. It doesn't stop you from getting Vlad. It makes you slightly less flexible. Sure. Granted, that's true. And that's a reason why you don't... I understand the idea. I've been saying it the entire time. There is a case that moving on from Pete is a good scenario for the New York Mets. I totally understand. But again, like, last year, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., last year, he hit 30 home runs, drove in 100 RBIs, hit .323, and had a .940 OPS. Unbelievable season. He puts another one like that together, I'm going to have no problem giving him whatever he wants. The year before that, 26 home runs, 94 runs batted in, a .264 batting average, and an OPS of .788. So he's had, in his entire career, he came up the same year as Pete Alonso, 2020 in 2019. He's had an OPS of .772, .791, the great year where he was in the MVP discussion, where he led the league in almost everything, including OPS, a 1.002 OPS. Then he's got an .818 OPS, a .788 OPS. Like, he's been overall, especially after that year in 2021, overall disappointing. And his home run numbers have completely fallen off the table after the 48 home runs in 2021, where he's hit 32, 26, 30. I'm not trying to tell you he's not better than Pete. I think he is better than Pete. But Pete's going to cost you 25 for three, and Vladimir Guerrero is going to cost you 500 for 10. And yes, in the next 2 years, you become slightly less flexible. But you got the richest owner in baseball. And you'd have a middle of the lineup with power through the freaking roof if Vientos continues to do what he does. What made the Mets potent last year was the flexibility. Okay, well, You just signed Juan Soto and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now you don't have to be flexible. Your strength doesn't have to be your flexibility. Your strength can be the home runs that they bludgeon you with. And the power and the dangerous at bat one after the other they bludgeon you with. Do you want to be the spunky little team who surprisingly was in the top 10 in Major League Baseball offensively and miraculously you had this wonderful season that got them to the NLCS? Or do you want to be a force in the middle of the lineup? Because you have him at a fair market value, just give him a little bit to make him feel like he's wanted. Give him a little bit to make him feel like he's earned something here over the last 5 years. Give him a little bit. But I don't. I think everything you said is a lot to do with the reason they don't want him. I totally agree. I don't know if it's a bit short.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Need 136, McBonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, just real quick, just to do this for a second here, because I am by no means, especially because of the age, right? I'd much rather have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'm no one saying different. But when you look at it, it's not as, I mean, Pete isn't as far off as you think. Like, if you look at their average 162, and look, he mentioned recency bias before when I mentioned the home run. And I'm going to tell you, recency bias, it has a lot to do with Vladimir Guerrero's perception because he just had a great year where he hit 323. But if you look at just the average over the course of these 6 years, if you look at the average 162, you're going to be surprised how close it is. So over the course of 162, Vladimir Guerrero, if you care about war, Vlad averages a war of 4.3, Pete 3.8. So half a win per year better for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Runs scored, exactly 94 for both. They average exactly the same number of runs scored. Home runs. Pete Alonso averages 43 home runs a year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. averages 32 home runs a year. RBIs, Pete Alonso averages 112 RBIs a year. Vladimir Guerrero averages 100 RBIs a year. So he's got him beat by a good margin in home runs, and he's got him beat by 12 RBIs a year. Batting average, 288 for Vlad, 249 for Pete. So that's just about 40 points higher. OPS, 863 for Vlad, 854 for Pete. The OPS is pretty damn close, and the OPS plus 137 for Vladimir Guerrero, 134 for Pete Alonso. OPS, 863, and the other is 854, and the OPS plus 137, 134. One is going to cost you 12 years and $500 million, or at least in the fours at the bare minimum. And the other one, you won't give more than $23 million a year on a three-year deal when he's done all of those numbers for you. And he's 30. He is not 34. He just turned 30. This is going to be his 30 season coming up. When you look at down years, and there's no doubt he's come down over the last 2 years. I mean, last 2 years, 23, hit 46 home runs and drove in 118 runs in an apparent down year. 46, 118, with an OPS of 821. What a horrendous season. And then last year, 34, 88, and I'll give it to you, was not clutch. Came up small in big moments, time after time. His late and close numbers were terrible. Everything was terrible. But if you look at it, when you look at those kind of numbers and trending down for 2 years at 30, I don't think it's absolutely the beginning of a decline. I think it's quite clear last year he was, the entire free agent thing hampered him. And so maybe a 1 year contract or a 3 year contract with an opt out would bring the same kind of thing where he would feel pressure to succeed. And I don't know how good he's done with handling that kind of pressure. But again, I'm just saying, the last 6 years, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso, it's not another world. They are right there with each other. They are right there. Vlad's 4 years younger. That's why I'd rather have him. That's why he's going to get the bigger contract, no doubt. But let's see what kind of year Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has, especially on a crappy Toronto team this year. And again, if Pete were 34 and seasons 33 and 34 looked the way the last two did, I'd say, okay, look, he's on the tail end. He's 30. The last 2 years were 28, 29. It's not crazy to think he can bounce back and have as good a year as he's had in his entire career next year. In fact, I think he's going to have a better one without the pressure of the impending free agency. And I think it's early to just, I know it's January 15th. We've seen January 16th, or today's the 17th now. I think we've seen the market for Bregman kind of collapse. We've seen the market for Santander not be there. I mean, no one signed Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott just had an unbelievable year. Is the market just not there, or is the asking price a little high? Let's see now that the Mets might be out and Pete starts shopping three-year deals to other teams. Let's see what he gets. And if I asked you Met fans, here's the other caveat and the question for you Met fans. If this isn't a death knell to the negotiations, if this is just part of it, and now the Mets have pivoted slightly, or now Pete's going to take his contract offers elsewhere and he's not focused on just the Mets, what if someone offers him $27 million for 3 years? What if someone offers him $27, $28 per for the next 3 years, and he comes back to the Mets? Should the Mets say, hey, well, now it's market value, I'll sign it? Or do you want them to not sign him? And then what do you think the Mets would do? Because if he now shops and says, hey, look, San Fran, I'm done with the Mets, let's go. I'm willing to come down and offer you a 3 year deal 3 year, $26 million, you got me. Like, well, 3 years, $26 million, you know, would that be, well, now the market value is $26 million a year, you willing to pay it? Because I tell you right now, Stearns won't. And then let's see, when you can't fall back on the, well, it's market value part of this negotiation. Because again, find me a clearly better option this year and then even moving forward. You put him in the middle of the lineup. You got Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Alonso. I mean, that's four straight guys hitting 30, 35 home runs. It's pretty, you want to talk about competing with the Dodgers. Now you're talking about it. I just think Pete, as much as he's an imperfect player on the decline, or at least has the last 2 years, the talk about his perceived value is, I understand what the market's dictated so far, because he's been asking Prince Fielder, you heard the report a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, he was judging his value on the Prince Fielder contract. That wasn't going to be out there for him. So maybe teams are like, well, I'm not talking that nonsense. Plus, I think he's probably going back to the Mets. He starts shopping reasonable three-year deals. We'll see who's be willing to pony up. We'll see if he gets a bidding war going up. We'll see what the market value is. 888-808-1019. Jonathan in Massachusetts. What's up, John?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Quite well. You know, I've been listening to this, and it seems to me it's an incredible microcosm of fandom in its essence. You know, like, I grew up in Massachusetts. My family's not from here. My dad's from New York. I was just down there. I love New York. I'm a Mets fan now.
Okay.
But it seemed to me like the Red Sox fans, obviously they wanted to win, but they kept booing. They kept sort of reinforcing negativity out of some kind of inertia.
Right.
And I think there's certain players, like, you know, Lou Piniella once said there's kind of three types of players. There's players you got to leave alone. There's players you got to kick their butt. And there's some players you can't, they don't play well if you're hard on them, like Javi Baez. And there is a certain effect that I've just always felt that the fans have an influence. And part of the resistance, I wonder, I can't be sure, is because of this. He is not this kind of a person. There's some people who will eat this up. Like, I think Soto likes the spotlight. He likes the energy.
Right.
And Pete likes it, but he doesn't like it if it's negative. And he doesn't play well if it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And some players are like that. I'm like that. You know, I get it. You know, like, and not to be, I'll let you go pretty soon.
But what's your point that Pete, that, like, is your point that you expect Pete to still be, you know, have another great year? It's just that the last, you know, once the ball started rolling.
Absolutely.
So your point is, it started to turn negative, and once it did, he couldn't handle it.
To me, that was the whole year, not just him. It started out negative, and a lot of it was the fans. They weren't showing up. They were so ready. It's like I'd watch Nomar pop up, and they'd boo him. And I'm like, all right, so do you want him to win or not? Because he's going to pop out again if you keep booing.
Yeah. Well, that's a different, and thank you for the call. That's a different conversation. We've had this around, you know, what happened in Philadelphia with Turner and obviously kind of Lindor last year. I don't know if that was the impetus of it or it was more of the meeting and everything else and hitting leadoff, which really transformed him. But we've talked about cheering players and we've had the conversation about the Yankees and some of the toxicity that's been around, you know, Hicks and Gallo and IKF and, you know, some of these guys who I feel like it's more of a way to boo Cashman than it is to boo the players when it was as bad as it got. And even a conversation about booing Judge in the playoffs 2 years ago against the Astros and the perception of players to that kind of thing. So it's a different conversation than just this with Pete, because if you're saying he's the kind of person who can't deal with negativity, that's a warning sign as much as it's a, hey, as long as things are positive, he'll be fine, because you can't guarantee positivity. I wish you could. Be nice. But we don't know if we can guarantee positivity. The fans are going to do what the fans do. And you know, you can't ask the fans not to boo. You can't ask the fans not to do what they want to do. And I don't think Pete got a lot of overall negativity. I mean, he had a terrible season, but then the Mets started winning and people didn't, you know, care as much. It was, up until that home run through the end of the year and then into the playoffs, when Pete was really struggling, especially in the big moments, I mean, you felt it. They were ready to get rid of him. And then I thought he won it back with the home run and how he played the rest of the way and that they went to the NLCS. And they're not there if it's not for Pete. So I thought that the expectation of bringing Pete back was more in line with fans think, and it feels like, despite today being a little bit better. You guys are stepping up your game, calling me and having some, you know, mixed feelings on Pete Alonso not going to be with the Mets. But it feels like overall the conversation is, hey, there's fair market value, and I can't expect my owner to spend more than fair market value for a guy who's, you know, had two declining years, despite the fact that he's been your guy. I find it a little puzzling. Peter in Montclair, what's up, Pete?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
Well, you know, a little more Pete Alonso talk. It's been a little. I've been listening a lot over the last couple of days. I've been a Mets fan for over 50 years. I got a son who currently plays college baseball, so we watch a lot of baseball. We're into it. He's a big Mets fan, too. And, you know, I'm a fair market value guy. You know, we offered this guy 6 years, 158, you know, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He turned it down. You know, the players are happy for it to be business when the ball bounces their way, but they're not happy for it to be business when it doesn't bounce their way. Is it business or isn't it business? You know,
I think that works both ways, no?
Sure.
The same thing. The owners are happy to make it business when it's business, too. I mean, that's what it's about.
100%. I think the fair market value for this guy is about $25 million for 3 years.
We'll see if they. I mean, they didn't offer as much as that, but maybe that would have been.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have got if he agreed to that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I agree with you that the Mets are better this year with Pete. I like Pete. I think this is a guy. You know, I think he's a great little success story. You know, when I look at I'm going to kind of give you both sides of it. I think this guy has squeezed every ounce of ability he can out of himself. He's turned himself from a lousy defender into a pretty passable defender. Mm-hmm. He works his butt off. But let's face it, when you look at, for lack of a better term, let me call it athletic aptitude, he's probably got about the lowest athletic aptitude of any position player in Major League Baseball. Like, watching him round third base, and he can never line up his stride to catch third base in stride. I mean, he's just not athletic as far as pro athletes go. You know what I mean? He doesn't have athletic aptitude. So my view is that somebody with such a low level of athletic aptitude, and let's be fair, I'm comparing him to other professional athletes, not you or me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think the possibility of that guy bouncing back with his low level of athletic aptitude is not high.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He does, that's not his game. His game isn't his athletic aptitude. You're not relying on athletic aptitude. He hits home runs. I mean, that's it. He hits home runs, he drives in runs. He's a power hitter. You don't need to be athletic. And you mentioned the worst of any player. Have you seen Giancarlo Stanton run? Because despite being built like a Greek god, the guy can't run. I have no doubt Pete Alonso is capable of bouncing back. I can't tell you he will, but I can. I don't think there's anything about his athleticism or his body type or anything that tells me Pete Alonso can't hit 45 home runs, hit 270, drive in 120, and have a great freaking year. That is absolutely on the table for next year. It's absolutely on the table. And again, it's business, sure. It's the richest owner in baseball. It doesn't stop you from anything. That's my only point. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. You could still go out and sign. What do you care where the money is? Either in Stern's pocket or in Pete Alonso's pocket. Like, who cares? And it's a couple million bucks. It comes down to this. Do you want the player or not? Right? The rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of it's just money. And you said 25 is a fair offer. Okay. Say Pete wants 29. $4 million over 3 years. $12 million. Are you going to tell me that $12 million over three years should keep you from signing the player you want when you have Steve Cohen as the owner? We're not talking about crazy money here. If you're willing to give him the fair market value and he just wants a little bit, even if it's $5 million more per year than what they're offering, $15 million over the course of 3 years is a reason not to get the player you want, because you want to hold firm and see what he gets and piss him off and let him go take less money elsewhere. Like, that's on the table. And you could say the same thing, oh, Pete, you know, a couple million dollars is going to keep, it's where we are. I'm saying if you want him and you want to win a championship and you want to be the big brother and you want to talk about how, you know, you're the best team in the city, it comes with expectations. The expectations of last year are gone. The, hey, compete while we rebuild is gone. Now it's time. It's win the World Series or bust. It's upon you. Congratulations for joining the party. It's a gift and a curse. And to allow a pittance in Steve Cohen's pocket to be the difference between having a extremely powerful middle of the lineup as opposed to having, hey, you know, listen, we figured it out last year offensively. We could probably figure it out this year offensively. Okay, figure it out. And maybe you can. But I'm surprised it's gotten to this point. And we'll see if maybe they change their tune. But to me, I think the market, all of it is more just they don't want Pete. 888-808-1019. All right, we'll get into some other things as we move forward here. 2 hours down, three more to go. We heard Aaron Rodgers talk a little bit. What's going on with the Jets coaching situation? Anything new there? As obviously, this is going to be a big game. And we haven't talked about this too much. But Aaron Glenn is clearly one of the candidates, if not the candidate right now, for the New York Jets. Defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. He's about to go play a playoff game against the best young quarterback in the league. I think the over-under is 55.5, and this guy has led drives to win five consecutive final play games. If a Super Bowl caliber team like the Detroit Lions, the one seed in the NFC, and that defense allowed Jaden Daniels to go into that building and upset them, do these games mean anything as far as how we feel about the coach? Because I'm curious now, because if we get back-to-back weeks of the two best candidates for this Jet job, Aaron Glenn and Brian Flores, if back-to-back weeks, and I know they're banged up a little bit defensively, but if back-to-back weeks we see these teams, these favorites, lose games in the playoffs, does it impact the decision of the New York Jets?